Hey friends, you're tuning in to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives.
Awesome. Well, welcome to another episode of Wisdom and Wellness with Wit. And I'm so honored, truly honored and excited to get to talk to a new friend, Alisa Keating. Welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Whitney. I'm super excited to be here and learn about you and get to just converse with you and connect. What a gift. This is a nice reprieve from my usual day. So
good. Oh, good. I love to hear that. So I'm so encouraged and inspired by you. I would say, so the first post, we're going to get into what you do, but the first post I saw from you that got me going like, yes, was when you said, God did not come to heal your cellulite. And I'm sure that's like with so many people.
Jesus never healed cellulite. He never gave people bigger muscles or smaller thighs. Yeah.
I love the way in which you talk about fitness, but it's not like it's Christ-centered fitness, which is so unique. It would seem obvious, but it's just so unique in the way that you talk about it. So can you kind of talk a little bit about like your journey into your relationship with your body going into starting this amazing, you know, revelation wellness and just who you are?
Oof, yeah. Oh, that's so fun. Thanks for that fun intro. So I'm I've been in this space for 32 years. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm a 50. I'm about to turn 53. So I'm so honored that you would have a dinosaur on your show like me. But truly connecting with the next generation. Yeah. And I esteem you to go and run because this has to go beyond what I've been doing. And we need a new message. So about our bodies, especially as it relates to quote fitness. So I fell into the health and fitness realm in 1985. I took my first aerobics class. It was very Jane Fonda-ish. And I was 14 years old. And that's just what we did. And I always had some connection to my body that when I moved it, so I was very much a tomboy. I didn't want to sit and play dolls. I wanted to go out and play football with my brother, ride my bike. I was very active, roller skating in the 70s. And so when I fell into that class at age 14, it did something for me. I liked connecting with other people, moving my body, learning moves, challenging myself. And but the first class I took, I laid on the floor. I was 14 years old. My home life was pretty dysfunctional, to say the least. And you're 14. Remember 14, Whitney?
Oh, I did not.
God bless it. Yeah. Like I have a heart. That's why we're getting there. Revelation Wellness. We're going to get to that younger generation when people are learning about their bodies and the world is telling them a lot of things. And so I fell into that. And at the end of the cool down of a class, I laid there. It was my first class. And I remember tears like coming down, like streaming down my cheeks. Like, why am I crying? And why am I feeling all these things? And all of a sudden, like a warm presence just kind of washed over me. And I had this thought, whatever that woman just did, meaning the instructor, the woman who like danced and moved us around and moved our bodies, whatever that woman just did, I'm going to learn to do that. And that's such a weird thought. Like, why would I learn to do it? I'm 14. But I really fell in love with it. And I made it, definitely moved towards it where it kind of became my thing. And Jesus was someone I was aware of. I would have called myself a Christian. My faith was way over here. And my physical life and my life here on earth was way over here. Knew of Jesus, very separate. If you believe in Jesus, you don't go to hell. Sounds good to me. So, you know, it was that kind of a handshake faith. But it wasn't until I fast forward and I really grew into this love of helping people. And that is my truest heart, that you can help people get unstuck. That's really what health, fitness, like kind of moving our body is an expression of, I'm not stuck. What I do have, I can offer it and reap from this moment. So I started working with clients and fitness competing, doing the whole thing of the 1980s and 90s. And my life was a wreck. I had all the medals and the clients and fitness, like doing it all by the book. I had all the diets, you know, down for people and could assign and give people programs, and they would reap success often. If they did the plan, they would reap success.
Yeah.
But what would happen is I would see my clients fall into two categories. They would either get super focused and linear and follow every little rule and get the success. And then they became obsessive about it, or they were never happy about it, or something would happen that would then set them back and they would be right back where they started, or they never even got off the ground. They were just, they would try to make new things happen and something would knock them off and they would stop coming. And so I saw these two patterns of people would either obsess about their body or neglect their body. And I thought, there just has to be another way. Enter Jesus into my life. And I needed the freedom message. I needed something because I had everything on the outside going on, but my insides were lonely, sad, bitter, angry, newly married, basically almost divorced year one. Like, it was a wreck. Wow. My soul needed a savior. So I really then pressed into my faith. Jesus became real to me. The gospels, you know, I start reading scripture. Like, when you're ready for scripture, that's the thing, right? The soil has to be ready. I've cried enough. I've tended and tilled enough. It's like, I think the soil is ready. This is why you can never negate or dismiss sowing seeds, because you never know the condition of people's hearts. Even if their outside looks great, you never know the condition of their hearts. And so I got invited to a woman at the gym. Another fellow trainer invited me to her church, and I went, and it wrecked me. It was John 4, woman at the well. The Lord was reading my mail, because I believe the lie that if I had the body, if I did the education, if I did everything according to the plans of the world, that my life would be happy and I wouldn't have the life like my family had or my parents had. And it ended up not being true. And that's where Jesus came and scooped me up, and my heart fell in love with scripture, and he was like everything for me. And it started to heal my marriage a bit, because I took my hooks out of my husband, because you will make everything else but Jesus God, which will fail you and break you. And I was releasing him and leaning into Jesus. And then what happened is I would go back to work to train my clients and meet with them. And I couldn't see it the same anymore. I saw that this is not a physical issue. This is not about their weight loss. This is not about their diet. This is, I mean, it's something, but it's not the real thing. They actually need the living water. They need, they're going to be back and thirsty again, or they're going to stop drinking and go dehydrate. Like, they need the living water. So I started feeling the Spirit just saying, do you want to do it my way? Do you want to know what fitness is? Do you want to know what the body is for? Do you want to know the beauty of the body? At least, would you do that? And initially, Whitney, I said, no, thank you. That's weird. That's, it's again, so opposite.
Like, God,
and at that time, Whitney, it was like early 2000. And I had Googled like Christian fitness just to see what was out there. And I was like, I'm out. No, like, no, I'm not doing that, God. Like, no. And then, Whitney, he just kept giving me visions of people like moving, people getting free, people having joy, people really enjoying their bodies, people connecting. And I would go to sleep, I would see it. I would go for a walk and a run, and I would see it. Finally, I gave him my yes. And I was like, you know what? I'll do it. I'll do it. And he did say, Elisa, I am going to do this on the earth. I'm going this direction. You can come now, or you can come later. But I'm going. And I said, I'll go. And I knew it would cost me everything. And it did. It cost a lot of people thinking I was crazy, my own husband thinking I was crazy. But I leaned into it, because once you know with him are the words of life, where else are you going to go? And so I pressed in and started reading and writing and creating content. And then Revelation Wellness was birthed out of that.
Wow. That's so amazing. Yeah. Cause it is an interesting for everybody, but I think especially for women too. I would say my past with, I grew up an athlete. I was a swimmer, water polo player, but I was so driven by wanting to be in shape and wanting to lose weight. It was never this like, I want to function, you know, just optimally. And of course, I was never even thinking about my faith and the way that, you know, God designed my body to be this beautiful thing. And then illness, and I tore my rotator cuffs, and all of these things happened. And I got to a very, my body is bad. Like spiritually, broken. You know, fails me. Good. Yes. But my body is the thing that is keeping me from living out my calling or pursuing the dreams that I wanted to have. And so, and then being this all or nothing person, I was like, if I'm going to work out, I got to go for 3 hours because I got to. So I was this, my body is bad. I got to punish it. You know, I hate the way it looks. So to see somebody talking about just our bodies being beautiful, not from a, I love, you know, you talk about it. It's not from a vanity standpoint. It's from like, God created us to like function holy mind, body, and soul, you know? And I realize now after healing from the chronic pains that I had and realizing how much my mind had a big role to play in what was happening in my body. Yes, it's like we're doing the complete opposite. Like we're pushing ourselves out of this place of self-hatred. It's turning our brain and our nervous system on to say, no, this is horrible. Why am I doing this? So it's just, we're creating these walls for ourselves. So I love it. I love that because it is, it's, so yeah. So when you got into kind of this message and you talk about like the body is beautiful, like why is that important for our walk with Jesus?
Oh, don't get me going. Here we go. Get ready.
Please get going. Get going.
Oh,
I'm ready. I got my tea.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. God had an idea.
Yeah.
God who is love, God who does not have a body. He's outside of space and time. Mm-hmm. He is the Alpha Omega. He's the reason we are here and we have laptops and like everything, the blessings and the advancement of life. He is not surprised by the time we are living in right now. He's not surprised by the things that come against us, the stressors, the anxiety, the depression. He's not. He knows the whole thing, beginning and end. But knowing all that, knowing that it would go sour because we have free will, he creates us and he creates us with bodies. I love to think about this, that we know that he created us on the earth, heaven and like in the beginning God created heaven, the earth, right? That was already there. Then he makes us and there was, the enemy was already here when we were created and he knew it, but he makes his sons and daughters. I'm going to make for myself a family. I'm going to make for myself children. And I'm going to give them, I want to make something seen. I want them to have bellies and arms and legs and breath and lungs and cells and nervous systems and brains that are neuroplastic. Nothing about our body is stuck. Everything renews. Every 7 years, you're almost a whole new person, from your hair to your skin, to your nails, to your cells, to your blood. This is the God who said, those are going to be my children.
Wow.
Knowing there would be an enemy that would come to try and steal, kill, and destroy. Because what was our mandate as children? Subdue, multiply, fill the earth, and take dominion. Increase good and have authority over this thing. And by the way, he didn't tell us, but he gave us that subdue and have dominion because within moments, a serpent is going to come up and try to tell you something that is not true. So he's not a God who's surprised by that. It's interesting, even when he says to Adam and Eve that do not eat this fruit, but when you do, he knows they're going to. When you do, your eyes will be opened and you will think you are God, and that is not true. So it's the fact that he cares so much, and we're image bearers. We, each one of us, Whitney, I've never met you before today, but I see the beauty of God in you. I see beauty in your hair, your eyes, your kindness, your face. I think this is one of the things we are losing in our time now, is we don't even see people anymore.
For sure.
We don't, that's shame too. We don't want to be known and then knowing others. And so notice the first sin that happens, or the first consequence of sin in the garden, when they take the fruit and have, it's something's wrong with my body. They instantly see their bodies as wrong. They can no longer see themselves or one another the same. So our bodies are this redemptive place, a created place, a redemptive place. And if that's not enough for us, just the fact that we are created in a God's image. So no two people are alike ever, eternity, yeah, present, past, future. There will never be another me. There will never be another Whitney. And yeah, he's constantly multiplying himself right now. A baby is born. A baby is born.
Yeah.
Someone that's never. So this is where the enemy hates life, but God keeps multiplying himself. Another baby, another baby. Mm. And will they know me and love me and serve me? Because with me is life. But as we go about and think about our bodies, we have to remember, even the most beautiful thing to me, Jesus put on flesh. Right. Jesus did not have to put on flesh. Jesus put on an incarnate God. Mm. So our body, we can read scriptures, gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mm-hmm. I love to read and just look at Jesus's life and think of him as a body that walked and had hunger and tired, but saw people's needs and healed hurts and fed the hungry. Like he knew about this body. And isn't it interesting? Back to Jesus never healed cellulite.
Right.
But he healed. He knew pain when he saw it. Yeah. And he knew if a woman bleeding is going to touch me, who took that power from me and extends his mercy and grace to the hurting? Our bodies are the way we know where are we in connection to God.
Yeah.
I'm hurting. I don't, things are broken in this world. What am I going to do with this hurt?
Yeah.
Will I medicate, you know, or numb this? Will I look for other things, or will I cling to the hem of Jesus? Will I go that way? That our mandate of subdue, multiply, increase good on the earth comes down to in the end, we will be overcome or we will overcome. That's it. Every day you are either overcoming or being overcome. Wow. And our bodies are broken and being made whole. And if that's not enough about the beauty of our bodies, that God cares so much about them, that it was his like target for going around and healing bodies, healing bodies, right? He did that more than anything else, which is why people came to him often. Hunger, feeding 5,000, healing bodies. Mm-hmm. And teaching some scripture that kind of made people upset because what are you saying? But it wasn't so much the words that he was teaching, it's the acts he was doing, right? Because anyone could come in and say something and have some authority, but the fact that he was healing bodies and multiplying and then saying things like, hey, you see those beautiful buildings? I'm going to tear those down in 3 days. I'm going to give you something better. This is what was better. I'm going to resurrect human living stones where I'll put my spirit in their body.
Wow.
And then I'll finish with this, but I can keep going on.
Oh, no, I love it.
He not only heals bodies, cares for the body, weeps. I just read this the other day. When Lazarus dies, and it says Jesus wept, and that much he came to much grief and much sorrow. That grief and sorrow could be equated to the image of war horses rising up on their rear legs roaring. What he was grieving about was the splitting of the body to the soul. That when someone dies, it's not supposed to be that way. There shouldn't be a dead body laying there.
Wow.
Lazarus should be whole and with God, and it should not happen. He witnesses his friend die and the splitting of their body laying there, and he's gone somewhere else.
Wow.
That's why he's like, I'm going to bring this back together. I'm going to make whole people. And then Jesus himself, everyone, after he dies, resurrects as a body. He comes back, shows his wounds. Like you have a story to tell, Whitney, with the scars and the wounds. Mm-hmm. I have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. But not only does he say, look at my scars and look at what I've done, touch me, believe in me. But then he ascends to heaven. And when he ascends to heaven, everyone, you can go read this in Acts 1, and it's also at the end, I think, of Matthew. It says that he ascended to heaven. Like ascended, everyone, like his body went up. He did not vaporize. He is in heaven. He is right now in heaven with a body. Jesus has a body. Because he's the one who's the high priest who can intercede for you when you have hurt, when you have mental health, anxiety, depression. He knows all those things. And so he can intercede, and he's praying for us right now. Embodied. Jesus now embodied, and we are invited to do the same.
Gosh, that's so good. I mean, me and my mom were talking about that the other day. We were like, isn't that really wild? Like when you really think about like when we go to be, we think when we're going to be in heaven, yes, we're going to be these vapors or whatever. And it's like, no, we're not just like empty souls. We're going to have new bodies, the new heaven, new earth. Like we are going to be bodies.
Yes.
I wonder, like, as you were talking, I was thinking about, scripture that talks about our flesh. Yeah. And I wonder, do you think there's a misconception that when we've read scripture, right, it's because we're to die to our flesh. You know, the war is not on flesh. Mm-hmm. So is there maybe a misunderstanding of scripture talking? It's like we've made our bodies bad because the soul is obviously Jesus died for our souls. But it's like we've kind of left that out of the conversation. And the way you're talking about it is like, No. The body has always been of utmost importance to God.
Good. Yes.
And it's, you know, because how I've been learning about in my own healing journey, like our body is simply an extension of our mind, right? Like we've kind of for years thought they were separate entities. Nope. You know, treat the mind for mental health, treat the body for physical health. And when we realize the way that he has wired us, like you were talking about, we are
whole.
He indwells in us, this temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Why would he want to indwell in something that he views as like trash?
Go. Exactly. Okay. So here's the thing. We absolutely have not talked about this in the church. Yeah. We don't talk about the body. We come from a church history of Gnosticism, which is to say that the body is bad and the spirit is good. Or asceticism, which is I'm really holy if I suffer, make myself suffer and my body bad. So I have to beat it down and show kind of like spiritual athletes. That is literally our history and talk of the body in the church. Other than if you go all the way back to biblical times, Hebrew scholars, Jewish people were actually very aware of their bodies. Read the Psalms. My heart cries out. My heart and my flesh cry out. So they have a more embodied, holistic look at our design. But biblically, where we get this wrong, I think, in the church today, one, we don't talk about it. Two, there is a difference between the body and the flesh. The body is Greek, is soma. S-O-M-E. It means the body. Body is a good thing. It's created by God. Your flesh is what is known as your sinful nature. I have at war in me. It says in Galatians 5 that the spirit of God that dwells in me is opposed to the flesh, which is my sinful desires because I still need a savior.
Yeah.
We don't get saved and then you never have wrong desires again. I'm always going to be contending to put those desires to death because I am dead to sin, my sinful nature, and alive to Christ. This is the war that will continue every day. And I think in one way it honors God because what? We get free will. We get to choose. Am I going to live according to my flesh in my body, which again, sinful nature that does war in my body, or am I going to live with the spirit? They're opposed to one another. Your body is a good design. The body, as we said, it's as good as a mountain. Like in the mountain, it's good. It's beautiful. Yeah. Everything God creates is good. 1 Timothy 4 says, everything God created is good and is to be received with it, thanksgiving, and nothing is to be rejected. Yeah. Food is good. Now, can we take good things and elevate them and make them God things or fracture them and destroy them for money or for greed? Yeah. But at the purest level of everything God has created is good. The body is good. Plants are good. These are good. And then the body, which is, it is the way through my nervous system and my bones and my muscle and my thoughts right now, I can communicate words with my tongue. I can spread good news and increase, multiply good. So the body's good. It's the sinful desire of our flesh. And that is where the enemy partners with our flesh. He gets us to think God isn't good. Your thighs are ugly. You are fat. Yes. You're never going to be healed. If God was kind and good, he would heal you. By accuser of the brethren day and night in the book of Revelation says that he will be cast into a lake of fire. He knows his destiny, but he knows the word. And he bets on anyone who's going to put more investment in their pain and make that their God. Than the God who is over their pain, who says, come here, baby girl, let's talk. Yeah. Let's talk about your mind and how what you're thinking is affecting every molecular structure in your body because your molecules are good, your blood is good, but there have been some things, trauma, adversity in this world. You will have trouble, but take heart. God teaches us how. The Spirit teaches us how to take heart so we can overcome the world just as Jesus did.
That's so good. Yeah. Well, and I totally relate to that. When I, you know, I struggled with autoimmune disease for 10 years and that was my sole identity. Like for the longest time.
Go. Yeah.
If you asked me, what do you do? Like what? And you're like, yeah, I'm like, you know, so my health isn't great. And I like, that was always my first thing that came out of my mouth. So it was where I lacked was my identity, where I thought I had nothing to give. Like all of that was my identity. And so it has been interesting in walking through physical healing, realizing how much of my emotional skills and thought processes and all of that stuff, it's taken a minute to be like, okay, now, who am I? And have you noticed this? I'm finding this, like, there's an actual, I had an actual, and my chronic pain therapist asked me this, like, what would life be like without pain? I was like, I don't know. It actually was a little scary because I put everything into that. So then I was like, what would my day look like? What would I do? Like I had to kind of quit my career for a bit and just, I mean, you know, I was bedridden. So it was, that was my life. So then if you're like, you're telling me I can do anything and like, I don't know, that's, who am I without my pain? Have you noticed that in women when it comes to our physical bodies and just the way in which we really hate our, I feel like we've, maybe it's culture. I don't want to always just give it to culture and all that, but I think a lot of us have grown up to think of our bodies as bad and ugly unless it looks a certain way.
We're disassociated from them. We pretty early on disassociate because of shame. We are born sinners. We're little babies. We're like, they're actually prone to sin and they need safety and belonging and love and all those things. And if, and even the perfect, if there is a perfect parent, gives them the perfect love, if there was, they would still have a need for Jesus at some point to be saved. We need, we need redemption of our souls. But yes, our bodies have been fractured again, back to shame. We, we feel that from a childhood of shame of anything. What have I done wrong? I am wrong. And then the world says something about our bodies, or our mother pinches her fat and calls herself ugly. Like there's just the accuser, right? This is the principality of Satan gets to roam this world and take victims. But you know what? God's like, all right, go ahead. Take your best shot. My grace is bigger. My grace is sufficient. I'm coming at the proper time when the soil of their heart's ready. I'm coming for them. So all that to say, what was your question?
No, I know. It's about, so good. What was my question?
People, do women have a hard time? Yeah. So I love what your pain therapist said. We train health coaches in Revelation Wellness. We train all kinds of different aspects of health and wellness, but this is something that's super important. So your therapist did exactly what needs to be done. People need a vision. So I find a lot of people, they don't, they've never had a vision outside of my body is wrong. I'm always looking at diets. I'm consumed by this way of feeling wrong in my body. There's something wrong. And so they come for health coaching to address whatever, you know, they often think it's the food or the exercise, but then we get at the deeper thing that's going on in their mind, in their emotions, in their will, their soul. And a big part is giving them a vision and, and not giving it to them, asking them to find one. What is the vision? And we go before the throne, like we go into the secret place together because where two or more are gathered. And we ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, who is this person with a body that feels like home, with a body that feels like joy, with a body that you died for and bought with a price? What does that look like? And as people get a vision that's connected to their value, that's the other thing. Value is a big deal. We've got to find some value. What do you value? What's valuable about you? People don't often do that language. They, you know, they might go, I value some weight loss, but why? Why do you value weight loss? What is that? What they really value is vitality, being able to go through life and have energy and not feel awkward or feel uncomfortable in their body. So we work on vision for people, but it is really hard. So when your question, do you find people struggle? Yes. And I often find it's because no one's asked bigger questions of the struggle. And that's what we do.
Wow. That's really good. Yeah. Thinking about those of us who have gone through emotional, mental, I mean, all sorts of pain, spiritual, mm-hmm. you know, physical pain. Mm-hmm. The physical part always seems to be the last value.
Yes.
And I was talking with my friend Dawn Jackson the other day, who mm-hmm. is involved in your program, Revelation mm-hmm. Wellness. And she was talking, we were talking about, like, I've noticed, and I could be wrong, but people who have a lot of discipline in the physical area, it seems like they tend to have a lot more discipline in other areas of their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you see that? Yeah. I would say because look at how we are created, a triune yeah. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, yeah. again, with not a body until mm-hmm. Jesus put on flesh and is mm-hmm. now body in heaven. Triune God creates triune beings. Yeah. We are spirit, soul, and body. Yeah. And we need to think of that in kind of concentric circles. Spirit is it's the center of you. It's mm-hmm. the thing God placed that in you so that you would know him one day. Your spirit yeah. is there to think about the things of God. Yeah. It says in Ecclesiastes that he has placed eternity in every man's mm-hmm. heart. Every yeah. person is like, why? What happens to me after this world? Like, what is, there's got to be more. They're thinking yeah. bigger. That's yeah. the spirit. That little S spirit is there for us to know God. Yeah. But the spirit is tiny. It's not very bossy, because next out is our soul. Your soul yeah. is your place of your will, your emotions, your desires. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus saves our soul. yeah. The spirit comes to save yeah. our soul. And then we can come out to the body. If it works yeah. its way out of me, if my salvation works itself out, then yeah. I no longer do things with my body that I once mm. did, go to places, say the things I once did. I'm being right. transformed. So yeah. if you start with people who have already had discipline in that outer layer of their yeah. body,
yeah.
it does kind of move inward mm. a little easier, because that fallow ground of the body yeah. has so many layers over, but they can get stuck on being yeah. prideful and not totally. Really getting to that tender mm. spirit place mm. of being born again and being loved again and being fathered yeah. and mothered again.
Yeah.
So they can kind of look good on the outside and like, I know disciplines, but sometimes totally. It's a safety mechanism to keep them mm. from having to go to the deep, deep, deep places of being known by the spirit. But totally. On the surface, it can look very yeah. disciplined.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. I love how you also talk a lot about, and it can be helpful in every area of our lives, but especially with the physical aspect of redefining your why.
Yeah.
Because I know for myself, when my why is I need to lose weight because I'm single, and once I look the way I think I need to look, then the guy will be attracted to me. Then I'll have the dreams that I've been designed. Right. It goes down this yeah. super deep spiral. So then I don't move, you know, yeah. I eat more. I, sure. you know, I had to take a little social media break because I was,
good for
I
you.
Realized my explore page was full of, which I, not bad or good, but you know, fillers and, but like it was all of the procedures
yeah.
you
beauty.
Can get to,
yeah.
you know, yes.
Beautify.
And it made me completely shut down and not even walk. Like I love to walk in the morning, and I wasn't even doing that. Wow. I love how you talk about redefining your why.
Yeah.
Because yep. it just is such the, I feel like when I don't even need motivation. When my why yeah. is, I know that moving is good for my brain and my body. Being out in nature is just so mm. healing. You know, mm-hmm. my thought processes, I'm more creative when I'm moving. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not at all about, gosh, I got to get rid of this stomach. How do you talk about that with women
yeah.
who, you know, I mean, most of our initial desire is weight loss.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, it's also one of the consequences of sin. We see yeah. when the consequences and the curse is handed out to the a curse is handed out to Satan. And yeah. if you read scripture in Genesis 3, he says to the snake or serpent, "Cursed are you." But he mm-hmm. doesn't say, "Cursed are you, Eve. Cursed are you, Adam." He just says, "And for you, there will be consequence." And for us, one yeah. of our consequences as women is that our desire will be for a man mm-hmm. and he will rule over you. Mm-hmm. And men are going to be so busy working the ground, they're not really paying attention. Like we're cross-eyed. We're not looking yeah. in the same direction. So totally. As women, if it's our desires for a man, what has the world told us? Then you should look a certain way, but dang, yeah, if that isn't the world's message. Right. And here's what I have to say, the why of your body. And first of all, it's to begin to pull back and be like, grateful for your body. Yeah. Whitney, if tomorrow you were in a hospital and could not move your body, you would be like, dang, mm-hmm, no one on their hospital bed today with a mm-hmm cancer diagnosis is wow thinking, I need to lose some weight. Totally. They're not thinking that. Wow. Your body is for ability, not mm-hmm vanity. That's the why. Mm-hmm. So when you get caught in that vanity spiral, mm-hmm, that is a key indicator of, oh yeah, the enemy is taking you down a path of yeah steal, kill, and destroy. And I also want to say this about vanity. Listen, I'm 53. Yeah, sure. I'm like, hey, okay. We have good skincare, better than my mom's time when she was using stringent, like stripping her skin.
Right.
So there's things that there's nothing wrong with these things, totally, but I'm aging, mm-hmm, and there's gotta be this like embrace the mm-hmm the world needs now, Whitney, more than anything. And Gen Z will tell you this. Mm-hmm. How old are you, Whitney, if you don't mind 36. Me asking? Okay. Gen Z will tell you this.
Yeah.
As much as they're stuck in the spiral of like TikTok and
yeah
the filler, the yeah filters, yeah, they want the real thing.
Totally.
Show me something real.
Totally.
Let's take a break from this regularly scheduled programming mm-hmm and show me something real. So when they see yeah a woman 36 years old who allows herself to be herself, whew, that's yeah gospel. That's intoxicating. Yeah. So the yeah enemy goes, no, it's not. You better get the fillers and look like everyone else. No, it's not. Don't do that. Conform yeah to the patterns yeah of the world. Don't you yeah dare be transformed.
Yeah.
The people who will carry the most power and authority, I believe, on the earth, mm-hmm, those children of God are the ones who have humbled themselves
yeah
to say, I'm dying yeah to the things of the world. I am yeah living to Christ mm-hmm and I'm going to crucify my flesh. Doesn't mean I don't take care of my body right and do the things so I can live to hear his call and live to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when we are able to say, no, my body is good, I've got ability, then yeah we stay free. And here's the other thing about vanity. The vanity, it's a prison of pretty that is easy to enter and hard to leave. Ooh. Let me say that again.
Yes, please.
Vanity, it's a prison of pretty that is easy to walk into, hard to leave.
Yeah.
Because once you start doing the thing, wow, I got to do the thing.
Yeah.
And then once I do that thing, I got to do yeah that thing. And yeah it's never enough. The enemy mm-hmm will do 1 degree here, 1 degree here, 1 degree here. And before you know it, you are living a captive life wow to the things of your body rather wow than the God who calls you and bought your body at a price.
Yeah.
So stay jeez free. Stay jeez free. Yeah. And the world needs to see free men and women. And yes free men and women who love God. Like yes free, truly free.
Yeah, yes. Oh, when I think about like, when I just think of people that I think are like, I just am so drawn to them. And I think they're beautiful, not just exterior, but they're just beautiful people. It's mm-hmm like, you're so right. Like, I've never really heard them demean themselves when they're yeah around other people, or like they're mm-hmm the encouragers and the,
yes
right? And it's, yeah. I have the yeah the privilege of getting to hike with Christine Caton a lot. And mm-hmm it's just so funny because she is just a war horse up that mountain, right? And she just is the same message as you. Like, she's just like, my body is to propel me up this. And she's like, women who are half my age can barely keep up with me. And I will absolutely attest to that fact. Because we'll go for like a hike all day and then she's going to speak at a conference and I am in the bed for the rest
wow
of the day.
Wow. Wow. But,
you know, it is interesting how deep this goes, because I was, as you were talking, it really reminded me, like, when I was in some of the worst parts of my pain, it's so interesting. I remember I was leading worship somewhere and I was just in so much pain. And but the thing that was on my mind, which is just how crazy it is when we really believe the world's message, I was just like, you know what, Lord, if I'm going to stay sick, like, could you at least make me beautiful? Like, no, that was one of the thoughts that I really had. Cause yeah I was like really believing that,
wow,
okay, if I at least look a different way, that would be yeah attractive in some way. I've never said this out loud. So that felt actually really weird to even just say.
Like, I'm
to
honored. Just express, go. You set know, someone but, free, girl.
Totally. But it was such a weird experience to be like, oh my gosh, that is one, how little I actually look at myself and value. And I really needed to go through some and I still am having to go through a process of confession and repentance of like, wow, God, like I really have been cursing the body that you gave me. And I've really been like, so I need to now confess and align my words with your truth and what you speak about me. But
yes, ma'am.
It just spoke volumes to my own mind about how my ability wasn't as important as
your vanity.
Feeling like I, as my vanity, or as being desired by something externally.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is my, it's so kind. Like even in our sickness, like here's what sickness does. I don't know if it feels like it's just popping a pimple. Like it's just pushing out of you all the infectious stuff that just doesn't belong. Yeah. So he's not shaming you. He's like, great. No. This is actually doing a work. Like I'm going to have you on the podcast. I want you to share your story because I'm sure the story is that it's not without a purpose, right? Like you, you went through that and there's something that has been expressed and now transformed through that. And it also, you know, there are people that still live in chronic pain today and that tension of why does God do it for some and why not for others? But we have to be willing to hold this mystery of God that he is still good and your body is good. And if we can get our mindset in line with what God is and who he says we are, it's unstoppable. And we also know that as people think, and you know this, as people think, so they become. And pain... pain can move down the scale as you think outside of the megaphone of pain. Like as you begin to think and have vision of like, what would my life be like without pain? Wait, what is actually going right in this moment? Not what's going wrong. It's perspective.
Totally. It's perspective. Yeah. That's so good. With, so with women, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but when you're meeting just women for the first time. And I know you work with men too. But, and what would you say is like, cause I have a lot of friends who are, you know, moms and live really, really busy lives, right? Exhausted, probably have some kind of pain, right? Have a lot of responsibilities. And you talk about this a lot of times. We, I'm not a mom, but we give a lot of ourselves to everyone else. And rarely find time for ourselves. And probably for a lot of people when it's like, I now have time for myself, you know, it's going to be to sleep or rest or, you know, like
watch
to
Netflix. Have
a break. Which is completely understandable because everyone's tired. Exhausted.
Everyone's so tired.
How do you breach that of like, let's learn how to help you incorporate a bit more of a mindset that includes movement for your body?
Yeah. Well, I always say a little bit, right? Like it doesn't have to be much. What happens though, when you tell people a little bit, they're still battling the mindset of, well, that's not going to change me. So why would I do that? Yeah. So we go back to our why and we go back to this better paradigm understanding of what the body is for. And they can never negate if they just go for 10 minute walk out, or I even will get people go sit outside. Can you just go outside, like sit and breathe for 5 minutes? But often I think people know they need to be moving. Actually, that's just statistically true. We right now, the average person moves like 3,000 to 4,000 steps a day. And in Jesus's time, they would, they would walk 20 to 25 miles. A day's travel could be 20 to 25 miles. That's 40,000 steps, everyone.
Wow.
And we take two or three and we're like, oh, I don't have time to take two more thousand steps. Right. Totally. Like, okay. Again, we had to get back like reality check. And these things do shift people. So if they go for a 10 minute walk, they're like, I do feel better. And that is the measure of health, as what's going on inside of me, not what do I see outside of me. So that recalibration has to happen over and over. And so it telling someone, you know, who's like, okay, I finally have some time for me. I actually always start with, because it's a nervous system, exercise is a nervous system activity. That's all you're doing. You're pushing on the gas pedal of your nervous system, your sympathetic nervous system, in a way that's productive. And it harnesses tension so you can release the tension. That's why you feel better afterwards, because all that stored up stuff just goes down and you feel better. But it also can be just as nourishing to someone to just sit in quiet and calm and reset their nervous system. Cortisol levels running high in our body is a high indicator of immune system suppression, autoimmune disorders, chronic illness, disease, and belly fat. Increased belly fat. I tell women that and they're like, okay, I'm going to meditate. Right. Yeah. Like, listen, it's true. You just find the release this stress in your body. Mm-hmm. This is why Jesus says, do not be anxious about what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. He's not saying that because it's impolite to be anxious. It doesn't make him look good. It's actually destructive to you. You are counterculturally against the kingdom if you are worrying because your body is of more value than even those birds in the air that God is taking care of. Because that's if you read Matthew 6, if we worry about our body and what we'll eat or drink and what we will wear, it has to do with we don't think God really values us. And so back to value and vision is what we need for God to keep moving forward.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. I love that. Staying focused on what God is doing in us.
Nervous system. Forget the calorie counters. Like, I got some stuff inside of me. How can I take care of this stuff right now? Is it to go for a walk, get in the sunlight, or is it, I mean, to just sit here in silence. Hey, everyone, I don't have my phone. Your phone is not great for your nervous system. It's terrible, right? We actually think it's going to make us better. It's actually very disassociated. You're disassociated from your whole being. Yeah. So do something, put the phone down where you feel like a whole person. And that from there, begin to take baby steps out towards the body.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow. Thank you so much. I love that. I could ask you questions all day long.
But well, I could. I know we could do this forever. I'm like, okay, I found it. I found a kindred spirit. Let's go.
Yes, yes. No, this is so good. And I there's so many resources that you offer. So I'll make sure to link everything and really get people. And just everybody, you should follow her on Instagram just for the fact that it's motivating. it's encouraging and motivating, which is what social media should be.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.